Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Volkelbaum.
And today we're going to talk about streaming video services. And really, we're going to focus on three big names in streaming video, knowing that there are lots of other names out there. But the three we're specifically looking at...
The three biggest as of right now, really kind of, sort of, maybe-ish, are Hulu Plus.
Yep.
Amazon Instant.
Yep.
And Netflix.
Yep. And keeping in mind, we'll also talk a little bit about Hulu. We'll talk a little bit about, probably mention some of the other services, like iTunes obviously also has streaming.
And Apple TV.
Right. And there's so many different choices out there. These were the big three. I mean, obviously, if you own something like an Xbox 360, then you also have stuff like the Microsoft Video that you can buy stuff or rent stuff on. Then there's also PlayStation and Sony have a deal. So Google TV is another example. There are a lot of different technologies out there that are all about streaming content over the internet to your television or computer.
Even YouTube, you could argue, is a content provider.
Oh, sure. Sure. I view YouTube all the time when I'm at home. There's this great series I love to watch at home on my big television. It's called Forward Thinking. It is amazing. The host is uber hot. And so I watch that all the time at home on my big television. And it's great.
I mean, you know, it is filmed with a Red One. So
yeah, actually we upgraded to a 4K camera.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we went from 2K to 4K. I mean, they went from 2K to 4K. So there are, like we said, a lot of different choices out there, but let's focus on probably I would argue this is probably the most well-known name. And in the interest of full disclosure, we're going to be talking about Netflix, and Netflix has been one of our sponsors in the past. They are one of our sponsors for Tech Stuff, but we're just going to talk about the way that it works and how it kind of started. So if you look all the way back to 1997, that's when the company Netflix formed. And at that time, it was just kind of an idea. It hadn't there wasn't a business there yet. It was really kind of the paperwork. So
right.
It existed on paper.
It wouldn't be until 1999 that they actually launched a subscription DVD mail to home
Plan. Yeah, they were offering up rentals and sales in 98, but it was 99 when the famous subscription service came in. That idea where you would make up a list of DVDs that you were really excited about seeing, and then they would send you one, and it would sit on your coffee table for 4 months, and then you'd think, I never really got around to watching that, but I want to see the next thing on my list, and you send it back without ever watching it. Was that just me?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad it wasn't just me. I swear I'm going to see The Prestige one day.
Oh, you should.
I know.
It's a terrific film.
It sat on my coffee table for 4 months.
And that's a shame.
I know. But anyway, they were strictly physical media at first. In fact, for most of their existence, if you look at the full timeline.
Yeah, they didn't even debut their Watch Instantly feature until 2007.
Right.
And they did not provide unlimited streaming content until early 2008.
Yeah, in 2007, it was incredibly limited. And even 2008, when you look at... this is one of those criticisms that is often leveled by people at Netflix, which is, you know, I look at what you have available on your DVD list, and then I look at what you have available on your instant library list, and y'all, there's stuff I want to watch that just I can't see on that instant side. And this is because there are some really complex deals going on in the back end between Netflix, which is a service provider, and the content creators that make the stuff.
That are licensing this content to Netflix.
So Netflix has to create, and this is the same with other services as well, they have to enter into these agreements with various content creators to be able to broadcast stuff over streaming.
The same way that a cable channel would license TV content.
Right. Now, in the case with the cable companies...
Or very similar, anyway.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, in the case with the cable companies, they're looking at channels or bundles of channels. So, but with Netflix, it might be a little more pick and choose. So instead of saying, I want everything that MTV produces when it comes to their original content, I want every single show, it may be that I want these 5 shows that MTV produces... But that's the only 5. And in this case, those agreements can go through. They, instead of a cable company where it's kind of an all or nothing proposition, services like Netflix can enter into these agreements where they get certain things, but not other things. And in some cases, it's not necessarily, to the benefit of Netflix. It might be that the content creator says, you know, this is my best stuff and I want to make, my money going through the traditional broadcast or cable route. And then make more money through DVD sales, whatever. I don't want to provide this to your subscribers. So it's a very complicated dance that Netflix has to do every time it's trying to get more content. And obviously, from a consumer standpoint, you want there to be as much content in whichever service you are subscribing to. Also, to make matters even more complicated, there are issues about what kind of content can be shown where. So in other words, if I'm a Netflix customer in Canada, the options I have are different than the ones I would have in the United States. If I were a customer somewhere else in the world, I would have that same sort of issue, right?
And that's, again, because all of these licensing agreements are very conditional.
Yeah. Some of them are conditionally regionally. Some of them are conditional based upon the type of equipment you're using to watch something on.
Right. I don't think Netflix has that issue as much, but we will get into that with some of our other discussions. As of 2013, there are about 29.8 million Netflix subscribers in the U.S. and another 7.6 million worldwide, which is up from 20 million at the start of 2011. So
right. And
so.
And, you know, another way to judge how popular they are based upon not just from a subscriber account is how much traffic Netflix generates on the interwebs.
Right. Supposedly Netflix accounts for 1/3 of streaming video on any given day.
Yeah.
That's twice what YouTube does.
Yeah. And keep in mind YouTube is generating content at a crazy pace. We've talked about this. It's like 100 hours of content every minute. So every minute that goes by, another 100 hours worth of content gets added to YouTube. But if you're looking at actual traffic of people watching stuff, Netflix outstrips it 3-1. Now, that might also be because a lot of the content on Netflix is long form and a lot of the content on YouTube is very short form.
And Netflix provides a lot more in HD.
Yes, that's also true. So, in other words, those file sizes are bigger for multiple reasons, not only because they are longer, as in they last longer, like it's a 30-minute show or 22-minute or
but
whatever.
But it's a larger file to begin with.
Exactly.
As of November 2012, this accounted for about a third of all U.S. downstream traffic.
It's also why a lot of internet provider companies, ISPs,
are starting to talk about caps.
Yeah. Where they were, like, especially initially when Netflix Instant was starting off. Now, back then, there weren't as many customers who were taking advantage of it. I would say that this is something that's really starting to explode over the last, like, maybe year or two. We've really seen it, like, take off. Before that, there were early adopters who were very enthusiastic about it, and then there were a few other people who were curious about it. And some people had it, added on as part of their DVD service, and so they played with it once or twice. I think one of the things Netflix did that they did really well was they got their app on as many different platforms as possible. It's one of the things that I thought this company
is very savvy.
They know what they're doing. They're on Xbox. They're on, PlayStation. They're on Wii. They're on, computers.
Mm-hmm. They allow telephone and tablet use.
Yeah. So
smartphone anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So they, like to call up and listen to my favorite movies. They really were very savvy. They got in front of as many eyeballs as possible, and that definitely helped a lot.
Now, they haven't always been incredibly savvy. Back in 2011, you guys might remember, there was the entire Quickster debacle.
Right. That's when Netflix was just going to become streaming only, and a new company called Quickster would be all the DVDs.
And that was after another controversial thing where they were planning on splitting the DVD and streaming plans with like a 50%. Over 50% price hike,
right,
to get both of them, which was still, because it had originally been like $10 a month, and it was going up to like $16 a month if you were going to have both DVDs and streaming. And that one they did push through. It almost makes me think that they were joking about Quickster in order to make the other thing sound okay.
I remember seeing Facebook explode when this happened, and Twitter exploded too.
Oh yeah,
I had friends who were immediately and vociferously proclaiming that they would leave Netflix never to return
forever.
And burn the villages behind them and sow the ground with salt. Whereas I was thinking, like, guys, I think you might be overreacting. Heretic!
It sounds like $6.
But
stock fell from over $300 a share to under 100.
And Reed Hastings, the CEO, the founder of Netflix, apologized publicly for it. This is not something that happens very frequently where you have a CEO offer up an apology.
Right.
I mean, Tim Cook did for Apple. That's like the only other one I can think of off the top of my head. So, we've of course seen stories about CEOs admitting that certain products in the company's past were possibly a mistake or badly handled. But this was an outright apology to the public saying, mm-hmm. I was thinking it was a great idea. I clearly you guys feel differently. We are not going to do it. So don't worry. Yeah. But that was a big strike against Netflix at that point when they tried to do the whole Netflix Quickster thing. Now, Netflix has made some pretty big deals. Not all of them are exclusive deals, I should say. We're going to be talking about some of the deals that they've made with various content creators so that they can be allowed to show certain types of content on their channels.
Right.
Or on their service, I should say. One of them, which was announced the day that we are, or I think 2 days before we actually record this podcast, is an exclusive deal. And that is that Netflix and the Weinstein Company, depending on how you want to pronounce it, announced that they are going to enter a multi-year premium pay TV window agreement in the United States starting in 2016, and that Netflix will become the, quote, exclusive U.S. subscription television service for first-run films from the Weinstein Company, end quote. So this would include movies made under TWC, the Weinstein Company, and also Dimension Films. And that would become available to Netflix members who are subscribed to Netflix. So the interesting thing here to me is that it is exclusive. That means you're not going to find these same titles on the other services we'll be talking about a little bit later. Now, that's not the only deal they've made recently. They made a big deal with Disney. Netflix and Disney. Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that agreement starts in 2017. We're talking long-term goals here, folks. Now, you might notice that there are some Disney titles
that are on there right now. Right.
Which was part of this deal as well. But a larger percentage of Disney films will be available beginning in 2017. Again, not necessarily exclusive, but they will be available on Netflix. And again, depending upon where you are.
Right. Right.
Because the regional rules still are in effect here. Then you also have the deal Netflix made with DreamWorks. Now, that agreement begins in 2014, so that's a little earlier. I have already seen some DreamWorks stuff available there, too, but it's all kind of like their second or third tier titles, I would say, or sequels to movies that I would watch this, but I haven't seen the first one, and it's not available. I'll have to wait till 2014, I suppose.
Or get a DVD subscription.
Nah, you're just talking crazy talk. All right, so Netflix, of course, is not the only one to make these deals, whether they're exclusive or not, in order to get content. That's kind of how the game is played.
Right, sure. And a lot of it is kind of being continually mixed up between these top three companies. There's like, for example, I think Amazon just stole Downton Abbey out from under Netflix.
Right.
Netflix
had a deal with Viacom for a while, and then they're letting the deal expire, and they're not planning on renewing it. But other services are going to definitely work with Viacom. So
it's
going to change over time. But there's something else that all these companies are doing too, right?
Yeah, and this is something that no one else certainly will have, and that is Netflix's original content.
Yeah.
This is kind of a big deal because, you know, up until 2012, none of these streaming service on demand companies were creating their own new stuff.
Right. They were a pipe, but they weren't creating any of the stuff that was in the pipe. They were just giving access to it.
But as of February 2012, they offered a show called Lilyhammer, which was a co-production with a Norwegian producer, and not that many people in the United States have probably even heard of it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty big in Norway. But House of Cards came out. I don't have a date on that.
No, but House of Cards came out. I think House of Cards came out late 2012.
And that was the first U.S. kind of, I'm not going to say blockbuster, but the first popular original show.
Right. And keep in mind, this was a remake of a show that was made in the U.K., but the U.S. version had Kevin Spacey in the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big,
Which is a big deal.
Win. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, you're talking about an award-winning film actor playing a part in a series that was doing something really different. Now, what Netflix was doing was not just producing this series, which would have been remarkable all on its own, and then giving the exclusive look at the series to its members. You could not watch it anywhere else other than if you were to maybe buy the DVD set, which you can do. But they also offered up the entire series at one time. So instead of telling...
So that, like you do, you can just, you know, crunch through the entire series
in a day or two. Yeah, if you want to just marathon it, you totally could. Because...
Or the first season of it, anyway.
Yeah, first season of it. So this was a big difference from the way we usually think of content.
Consume media, right.
Because normally it's talking about something that's on a regular basis. It might be
it's
once
serialized.
A week.
It's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So Kevin Spacey actually had something to say about this. I've got a quote from him.
Yeah.
He says... I'm not going to do a Kevin Spacey impression.
I appreciate that so much.
He, by the way, fantastic impressionist, Kevin Spacey. Anyway, so here's what he had to say. Clearly, the success of the Netflix model, releasing the entire season of House of Cards at once, proved one thing. The audience wants the control. They want the freedom. If they want to binge, as they've been doing on House of Cards and lots of other shows, then we should let them binge. I can't tell you how many people have stopped me on the street and said, thanks. You sucked 3 days out of my life. So, but I mean, that's an example of how this model worked. And they followed that up with other examples like,
Arrested Development season 4.
Yep. Which, by the way, I marathoned when it came out.
Hemlock Grove.
Which I did not watch.
I have not watched any of that either. Orange is the New Black, which I am currently, I am only not watching it right now because I don't even know why. I'm surprised that I don't have it on in the background. I just started watching it last night. It's so good, guys.
See, that's
so
the thing
good.
Is that I've heard so many people tell me that's really, really good. I have not started to watch it, but I've heard enough good things about it that I'm willing to give it a shot.
It is for mature audiences or for immature mature audiences, however you want to state that.
Right.
Not for kids.
Right. Not for kids. Let's put it that way, because I am not mature, and I thought you were just telling me that I couldn't watch the show.
They've got upcoming shows from Ricky Gervais, Derek, and Sense8 from the Wachowski siblings.
Ah, the Wachowskis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excellent. So you know, that's a big deal, that this idea, not only getting these exclusive deals from other content creators, but to create your own content. They're getting into this game. It's interesting also because the way Netflix generates revenue is through subscriptions, right? They don't have ads in their shows. And we'll contrast that with some of the other stuff that we'll talk about in a little bit. So there are no ads and they're getting it mainly through subscriptions. And from what I can tell, Netflix does not really let anyone know how many people are watching any given title necessarily, unless it's like a huge deal and they'll say like over X million people watch this one thing.
Right. They're being pretty under wraps about it.
Yeah. So that leads you to wonder, is the content creation business working for Netflix? Is that adding to their bottom line? Are they getting more subscribers because of it?
I think that's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
You know, I read something that said that they could see themselves doubling their current content output in the next couple of years and even going up to 20 pretty soon.
Wow.
And they're looking to get into documentary production and stand-up specials,
telenovelas,
which are Spanish soaps.
Oh, Hodgman's Ragnarok was a Netflix exclusive.
Right, yeah.
It was creative for them.
They're being compared to HBO, Showtime, AMC, these big cable heavy hitters. Ted Sarandos, the chief content officer, told GQ in February, "The goal is to become HBO faster than HBO can become us."
Wow. That's interesting. That's a really good point. Because, of course, HBO does have its own HBO Go service.
But you have to be a subscriber through a cable package in order to access it.
Yeah, you have to be a double subscriber, right? You have to subscribe to cable, and you have to have a cable subscription that includes HBO in the first place before you can have access to HBO Go. So,
And it's really interesting. I mean, you know, the production process, these shows are going from pitch to series with no pilots in advance.
Yeah.
Which is allowing Netflix to put money into projects that they really believe in rather than playing the odds game of throwing up a single expensive episode to see whether or not people like it. They can really curate what they're putting out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And also because they don't have to sell it against ads, they don't have to worry about not getting support from different other companies.
For example, for a show about women in prison that has a largely female cast and deals with a lot of gender issues.
Yeah, that's something that you probably wouldn't see on a lot of traditional cable companies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And it's paying off in terms of critical acclaim. They just got 14 Emmy nominations for original content.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, we should point out that this year, this is the first time we're starting to see Emmy nominations
up for these series.
Yeah, for streaming video, for something that was not created by cable or broadcast. So that's also very interesting.
Yeah, but so we've got two other companies to talk about.
Yep.
But
and
before we do so,
let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right. So we've covered Netflix from beginning to end thoroughly, I think. Let's move on to a different one. Let's talk about Hulu and Hulu Plus.
All right. So Hulu, period, not Hulu Plus, launched in 2008. It was a joint effort from NBC Universal and at that point, News Corporation, Murdoch's, Fox.
Yeah.
Fox Corporation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was interesting in and of itself that these two major cable providers were playing nice.
Yeah, we're joining forces to create something interesting. Perhaps sinister. I don't know. You watch those Alec Baldwin spots where he was convincing everyone that Hulu was really just a front for aliens to take over. And I'm like, how is this supposed to sell me on watching? I mean, I'm going to, cause now I got to find out what happens in these commercials, but.
Right. Yeah. No, the commercials with him and Eliza Dukeshoo did a bunch of them too.
Yeah.
Those are great. Hulu Plus launched in 2010 and that was the subscription based end.
Now, what's one thing that sets the Hulu and Hulu Plus apart from Netflix is unlike Netflix, Hulu content is ad supported, right?
Right. And the deals that they make with the content providers, some of them are for a straight licensing fee. Some of them are strictly ad revenue based and some of them are kind of a sticky gray area.
Yeah. So this gets super complicated just in one, example here. So you've got shows that are, that have ad breaks in them, whether it's in the subscription one or just the free version, the Hulu one.
I believe that all content has ads in it, whether or not the content creator gets a share of the ads is the question.
Gotcha. So that's very interesting all on its own. And then, on top of that, you know, you have deals with content creators that are different than the ones from the other two. Like they have access to some content that the other companies do not have access to.
Sure. And Hulu is, if you're unfamiliar with the service is, as opposed to Netflix, which has prior seasons that have perhaps gone to DVD as an analog or films, Hulu does have a category of films, but is, I think most of its traffic is from currently airing seasons of television, either the entire current season to date or maybe the past five episodes, depending on what the licensing contract
so,
is.
So for example, a typical television show in the United States that also is carried on Hulu, a couple of days after it airs on television, that episode could become available on Hulu and you might be able to watch as many as the last five for a lot of them, right? So let's say that I'm following, you know, X television show and I missed the last two episodes because I was out of town. I could go on Hulu and catch up be back up to speed.
Mm-hmm. So or if you don't have a cable subscription at all. And
yeah, you could just watch it that way and just tell all your friends to not talk about the show for a couple of days so that it gives you a chance to catch up.
Right.
And if your friends are like mine, they will be happy to post lots of fake spoilers on your Facebook. The stuff that never happens. But that's okay. But also like Netflix, and besides these deals that are being made for content, Hulu is also in the content creation business, as well as, we could talk about some of the exclusives and some of the originals as well. I guess some of the exclusives they have, a lot of their exclusives are from other countries.
Right. Almost 5 or 6% of its content are these exclusive international television shows. For example, Misfits or Pram Face. There's a Canadian drama called The Booth at the End. It helped fund production for BBC's The Thick of It. There's a whole bunch of Korean language dramas up there. And this is all because sometimes those international license fees can be cheaper depending on what they are. And it's also, you know, it's really smart for on the content provider end, because I subscribed to Hulu Plus because I could get Misfits.
Mm.
I wanted that show. That was the only place I could get that show other than ordering the DVDs. And so I did it.
See, I the only two titles I even recognized on their exclusive list that I was just kind of, I was glancing at mm-hmm. like a layout of a bunch of their exclusives.
Sure.
The only two titles I recognized were Misfits, because you've talked about it before, mm-hmm. and Moon Boy. And Moon Boy because it has Chris O'Dowd in it.
Okay.
He was in the IT crowd. So I knew about those.
Right.
Chris O'Dowd plays the imaginary friend of a little boy. So, yeah, it's great. You know? Fantastic stuff. But that was produced in the UK, and Hulu is the exclusive
provider of it
in the
US.
United States.
Right.
So yeah, beyond that, they also are creating their own content, including stuff like, The Awesomes, which is a superhero comedy cartoon series.
Right, right. They began production of original stuff in August of 2011. Their first show was an interview series, by Morgan Spurlock. Early 2012 is when they greenlit their first scripted show, Battleground. And I think that they are also kind of trying to figure out where this original content is going to fit into their business model. They're kind of waiting to see, you know, whether people will bite and how well it will do. And since they are ad-based, how that's going to affect everything.
Not to mention the fact that they are a branch of companies that are producing content on their own for other platforms.
Right, right, because so, they're owned, ABC Disney is also part owner
right.
of them at this point. And so
yeah, how do you
if you're creating content that's in direct competition to
exactly.
your owner's content.
Yeah. That's a problem, right?
Squiggly.
You're talking about, cuz now you're talking about they could come up with an idea of saying, well, yeah, we can create this for Hulu, but why don't we create it for a different channel instead if we have that option?
Sure.
Or maybe they even start using Hulu as a testing ground for stuff that they decide to then appropriate for television. We don't know because it's so early on
mm-hmm.
with this experiment, really,
yeah.
for Hulu. But it is a little more complicated than Netflix. Netflix is its own independent company that is not beholden in this way to content creators. They're beholden in an entirely different way. Like, they'll come to a content creator and say, I want that show. And they say, you do not get this show because we want this show to go somewhere else, not you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another interesting thing, is that there's a lot of power struggles going on in this entertainment world. No one wants any of these services to become the dominant one, because then that service has leverage over the content creators.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a constant chess battle, right? To see who is going to be the one who has the advantage mm-hmm. in these negotiations.
Yeah. This is part of why, if you've tried to subscribe to Hulu, you may have noticed that you cannot transfer all shows from your television box to your laptop to your iPad.
You might have limitations. It may be that certain shows you can only watch if you're watching it streaming to your TV.
Because some content providers have said, nope,
yeah,
no thanks. No thanks. I don't want that on tablet.
Yeah, you can't watch that when you're on the train or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or driving to work. Don't watch TV while you're driving to work.
Don't do that. Never do that. So Hulu, as of April 2013, had 4 million subscribers, which has doubled in the past year. It's still pretty shy of the 30 million in the U.S. that Netflix has.
But it's growing.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, so that's Hulu Plus and Hulu. We've covered that. That leaves the other of the big three, and that's Amazon. And Amazon, again, like all three of these are very different from each other. They have different approaches to the way that they handle content. They have different approaches to the way that they handle revenue. With Amazon Prime Instant Video, there are a couple of different things. Like you can have actual access to a certain portion of their television shows and movies that are available if you're an Amazon Prime member. That's a subscription-based service that goes beyond just Instant Video.
Oh, right, right. It's not the same subscription that you would get just for Hulu Plus or just for Netflix. This is tied into its other Amazon Prime shenanigans where, you know, you get free or discounted shipping and all.
And discounts on certain goods and services.
And can borrow Kindle books, stuff like that.
Yeah. So a lot is wrapped up into it is what we're getting at.
Yeah, which is, I think somewhere around $75 a year.
I think it's 79 total. So when you look at it, it actually ends up being a little cheaper than some of the other services on a monthly basis. So in the United States anyway, it's 79 per year.
Sure. So Amazon Prime Instant Video launched in February 2011 and you know, you can also use it to rent or buy titles separately.
Right. So there are some titles that are available for free viewing once you have this.
About 40,000 movies and television episodes are available with the prescription.
Subscription.
Why can't I say that word today? Something over 150,000 titles are available per.
Yeah, if you want to actually purchase stuff or rent stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and I've done both. I rented titles through Amazon Instant, and I've purchased titles on Amazon Instant. So the way it works is if you're renting it, you obviously need to watch it on something. You could watch it on a computer or a tablet. Or in my case, I'm using a video game console and I'm watching it through there.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you rent it, essentially once you start watching it, the timer's on. And you have a certain amount of time to watch it before.
A day or two.
Before it gets, bulleted from your device's drive and you don't get to watch it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy it, of course, it stays in the cloud and you have the access to it on whatever device. As long as you're signed in as you, you can watch the programming.
Right. They also have exclusive deals. Like I mentioned earlier, they had nabbed Downton Abbey from Netflix and they're starting something with Viacom. They've invested in a CBS show called Under the Dome, in exchange for a digital distribution. They've got exclusive rights to digitally distribute the show 4 days after it airs on network TV.
Yeah, so this is similar to kind of the way Hulu does things with some of their shows, right?
Where right.
It airs on television, and then within a certain amount of time afterward, depending upon the agreement, Hulu can then show it on their service. This is the same thing, but on Amazon. Under the Dome is based off a Stephen King story.
Right, right. They are also producing their own original content.
Say what?
Say what?
Yeah,
yeah, true fact. As of May 2012, in fact, they unveiled Amazon Studios and started collecting scripts from the public. They opened up the process and were just like, if you've got a good script, send it to us.
If you have a pitch, pitch it to us. And this is incredible. It means that you're going to get a lot of stuff, right? You're going to get a lot of stuff that's not ever going to be producible. It's just going to be things you read this and like, this might have been an interesting idea, but it's a terrible script, or this is a good script, but it's boring.
Sure. You know? And they took a certain number of those and filmed pilots of them.
Yes.
And in 2013, put those pilots online and didn't use exclusively user feedback, but
took that into account.
Took that into account. Yeah. They let the members of Amazon Prime watch them and help decide what they wanted to see proceed to a series.
Yeah, it's kind of a democratization of content creation. Sort of like what you would see if someone were to pitch a series on, say, a Kickstarter. People pitched it, they shot the pilots, they showed them off, and some of them are now going to become actual series. They'll be available probably late 2013. I saw that in the fall of 2013 is when we can expect to see the first episodes of some of these shows.
Right. As of August, they had Alpha House and also Betas.
Wait. So they've got Alpha House and they have a show called Betas?
I actually just got that. That's pretty silly.
Well, how did that happen? And these are two different shows. It's not Alpha House and Betas. It's Alpha House. And then there's another series called Betas. I guess the last show we'll ever see will be Omega. That'll be the last show that Amazon ever makes.
And they've also got three children's series in production, which I do not have in front of me. They were looking specifically for comedies and kids' shows.
Well, yeah. And if you look at the different series, a lot of them have focused, especially recently, on children's programming.
On comedy and children's programming.
Yeah. Amazon's deal with Viacom is largely, based on children's programming from things like Nickelodeon. Netflix has an entire section that's just, like, they had Netflix for Kids that they launched where you could create a little, sub-profile
right. mm-hmm.
for your children so that they could easily find content from everyone from Disney to Nickelodeon to, I think Nickelodeon, maybe Nickelodeon didn't have anything. Viacom and Netflix did have a deal, but like we said, they are letting that deal end and they're not renewing.
And also have, you know, less of the more colorful content pop up in your kids' video streams.
Yes. You don't have to worry about, say, the Hellraiser series showing up in sequence
right.
on there. I've been working my way through them, and my pain is delicious. So anyway, yes, I just killed Lauren there. But yeah, we're seeing some more of these exclusive deals. We're seeing some more of this this specific content created for the platform. I love what Amazon is doing here as far as creating a production studio and making it this opportunity for people who
wouldn't necessarily have a voice otherwise.
Right. They would have no way of getting into the industry. And now there's a chance for them to actually create something that could end up leading to a long career. And, you know, who knows? Maybe the next fantastic storyteller, maybe the next Joss Whedon is in this group and we can look forward to having his or her scripts produced and canceled mid-season.
Well, hopefully this entire strategy is going to avoid having things like cancellations mid-season.
See, that's the other thing is that because of this approach, you no longer have excuses like a network moving a show around in a lineup over
right.
and over again. That now lineups mean nothing,
mm-hmm.
right?
And you can also produce more than 24 hours a day of content.
Yep.
Or way less
yep.
if that's what you want to do or if that's what you have money to do.
Right. And you can produce far more diverse content and not have to worry about catering to a specific audience with a bunch of themed content. So that's one of the things we've seen with cable channels where they struggle. They create an identity for themselves where they create very specific types of content that are meant for a particular audience. But then they grow as far as they can within that niche audience. And to grow further means that they have to go outside that definition. Sci-fi. So, you know, this is something that they don't, these companies don't necessarily have that problem. They can experiment with doing stuff. You know, we've seen with Netflix making drama and making horror, as well as making comedy with the fourth season of Arrested Development. Amazon's doing it with children's programming and this alpha and beta stuff. Hulu has got its own approach. I'm really excited about this because, I mean, I love stories and I love the idea of people who otherwise would not have had this content produced having this shot. I think it's really a great moment for someone who is interested in consuming entertainment as well as people who want to produce it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't have a number for Prime members like I did for Hulu and Netflix because Amazon doesn't disclose that.
Nope. They just say millions.
Yep. It's in the millions.
Is it lots?
A bunch. I do think it's pretty interesting that Netflix transitioned its site to Amazon's cloud servers in 2010.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you know, Amazon definitely does provide resources to other companies. That's one of their biggest businesses that doesn't have anything to do with the general consumer. I mean, when it comes down to a business deal, I can totally see them going, all right, you know, we're competing against you, but if you're going to give us money, that works. It's interesting, too. I see that one of the other notes you have here is about how Amazon is expected to spend $1 billion acquiring rights to programming to show on their Instant, which is half of what Netflix is spending.
Which is so much money.
$2 billion, folks. That's just to get the content. See, so when you're complaining, and when I say you, I'm including myself in this, when you're complaining that the show you really want to watch is not available online, think of how much money these companies are having to pay in just to get
Get that content for you, right.
You know, and it's because there's this complicated relationship between the content creators and also cable companies and their relationship to content creators. That's one of the reasons why you're not going to find HBO in any of these for the time being. HBO's deal
with... Because they're tied down.
Yeah. HBO's deal with cable companies is so important and so lucrative that in order for HBO to break out of that and leave the exclusivity of these cable deals... would mean that we would have to have an astronomically good deal for HBO on streaming. Because otherwise they're just losing money. And you don't go into a business to lose money. I would hope. I mean, it might happen to you, but that's not why you get into business.
Hypothetically not.
Unless you're
some
the producers.
Kind of economic. Or the producers. Right. I was going to say an economic masochist, but.
Yeah, maybe if you're just trying to raise backing money and then immediately tank the company so that you can keep the backing money, you are not ethical, but you're also not really going into business. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about these companies?
I do not.
All right. Well, let's sign off on that. So if you guys have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, whether it's about a technology or some sort of trend in tech or a specific company, let us know. Send us a message. Our email address is techstuff@discovery.com or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us there with the handle TechStuff, HSW, and Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey. Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.